dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of the lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is the account of where we see a point of conflict where Jacob is going to take advantage of a situation with his brother Esau being hungry and who happens to have the birthright. Now, we know the eldest child always had the birthright, and that was a big deal. They got the inheritance, okay? Most of it, anyway. They had so many advantages and so many privileges with that. They were to be overseers of the inheritance and whatnot. So it was a very important position, and it was one that was desired for sure by Jacob. But it's interesting, too, because this position was promised by God that it would go to Jacob. And that was not the typical natural order, all right? Because it went go to the oldest, but God and His providence, we learned that over in Romans chapter 9, to where God and His sovereignty chose Jacob to have the birthright, that he would actually be ruler and Esau would be servant to him. But the key is that we're going to look at is that it was important that it be done in God's timing, God's way. And that is where a lot of us can get messed up when it comes to allowing God to have His will and way in our lives. And so we trust that the Lord will help us. Let's ask Him to lead us now. Father, as I look to the verse of Scripture here, please help us and give us understanding and grow us in our faith and, Lord, in our desire to just be who You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there is no limit in spiritual maturity in the Lord. Isn't that comforting? There is no such thing as somebody on this side of eternity reaching an apex, reaching the climax, and then being okay. That just doesn't exist. There's not a human being, a believer, a blood-bought child of God, who practically will be where God wants them to be perfectly on this side. There's always room to grow. That is just a part of life. I do not believe in sinless perfection, okay? I do believe that, I don't believe we can be sinless, but I do believe that we can sin less. And that is the goal. and to let God continue to work in our lives. But, you know, it's there's no limit. And that should be something that should be encouraging to each of us tonight that, wow, this walk that God's given me, I can grow every day to be more mature, to be more in love with my God. Example, you can't love God too much. There's no such thing. There's always room for growth and falling more in love with God. You can't love your Bible too much. It's impossible. We want to grow and love our Bibles more and more. There's no limit there. You can't tell too many people about Jesus. There's not a such thing as being too burdened about souls. That's something that God wants to grow in us every day of our lives until He calls us home. You see, God wants us to grow. You can't be too much like Jesus Christ in the sense of, hey, I've reached my limit of being like Christ. No, we grow more like Jesus. We're supposed to grow more and more like Jesus every day of our lives. That is God's will. You know, there are things that grow, but they cap off at a limit. You know, for instance, our height, our physical height. We reach a height, and that is it. That is going to be it. Some would like to be taller, maybe. Some would like to be shorter. I don't know, but nevertheless, when you reach that height, that's it. That's what, how tall, there's no pill you can take, to shoot you up a little further. Now you can put on some nice thick cowboy boots, or some of you ladies, you put on those high heels. And to put you up maybe a couple more inches. But your physical stature, as tall as you're going to be, that's it. Now, I can't say the same thing about our width. Now, that may change. And that does change. That can grow. Now, we won't talk about how far it can grow, okay? Let's just don't go there. But nevertheless, there are things. You know, I think of our physical strength. There's a limit to our physical strength. As much as you go to the gym and work out and lift as much weights and get as buff as you want. You know, I've seen these strongest man in the world contests and competitions, you see. And man, those guys are huge. But even with them, there's a limit. There is a limit. We see that there are things that grow, but there's limits. We think of plants. We think of certain trees, different species of trees that you grow. Most know that there are limits on how high they can go, what is typically expected of them. But thank God. Thank God. God has not put a limit on our spiritual growth. He wants that to continue daily, as we fall more in love with Him. You know, growing in our relationship takes time. It takes time in His Word. It takes time in prayer. It takes time, now get this, because this is sort of where we're at tonight. It takes time in trials. It takes time with others, learning from others, being around others, in our relationships with others. It does certainly take that. And some of these things that we're going to talk about tonight, and one particular with the trials, when it comes to growth, people want to grow, but then sometimes they're just not willing to do what it takes. I think about that bumper sticker that was placed right under a dent on an old beat-up Volkswagen, and it read this: "When I grow up, I want to be a Cadillac." And what this little sticker said there on that bumper in this old beat up car, "I want to be a Cadillac." You know, sometimes it can be that way, even as believers. Sometimes we can say, listen, I want to be this and I desire to be this. And when I grow up in the Lord, I want to do this. When sometimes what we need to realize is, hey, we need to stop spending so much time dreaming about what we want to be and just be. And let the Lord grow us where we are today and be used of Him. Some of us never grow up in areas that God intends because we resist growth, or maybe we misunderstand growth, what God is doing. Buchner, I'm not sure the exact pronunciation there, but he describes the growth process as this. I thought it was interesting. The defeat, which is victory. Dr. Stephen Alford said this, described it as being crippled to be crowned. And as we look at our Bibles, and we're going to look specifically at Jacob, there is no doubt as we look at the characters of the Word of God, who God used greatly for His glory, they went through some serious trials of spiritual growth. Things that they were tested in. Things that they experienced so God could get them where they wanted to be. You know, we sometimes want to take shortcuts, don't we? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. As you see there in your handout, let's look at one more passage there in chapter 27. If you just want to flip over a couple pages. Chapter 27. verses 15, 27, 15. We see here that the account of, and Rebekah took a goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau. All right, because what we have here is Rebekah is basically commanding her son to deceive her his father. And so she is preparing him to do that. And it says, verse 15, the raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were in her house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And so as Esau was a hairy man, she's going to put the skins of the animals on there to, again, deceive Isaac. And they would also prepare the venison. And so there was deception there. And we see there, as you get to the end of that, it says here in verse 27, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. And so he was deceived, and that was a blessing. And so many Christians in the introduction you see here try to grow spiritually on their own terms. But spiritual growth must be on God's terms. Jacob, the supplanter, as we have seen, and Esau would describe him as, in chapter 27, verse 36, found himself greatly hindering his spiritual growth and power because of his selfishness and subtlety. He undermined God's sovereignty by taking matters into his own hands, and this led to a premature birthright and a premature blessing. Because as we have noted here, it was God's intentions to give Jacob both the birthright, he had the birthright, and the blessing. But he did not do it, I believe, in God's timing. There is no such thing as a shortcut to spiritual growth. Do you believe that, church? There is no shortcut. Number one here, we see for most of us, growth is no easy path or instant attainment. The word is growth. For most of us, it is the result of a painful struggle. That is, painful for the flesh, but profitable for the spirit. What do I mean by shortcut? What do I mean by, as we look at this man, Jacob, what do you mean by shortcuts? How could this possibly be? Well, it can come in various forms. But the fact of the matter is, the path and the journey that God has you on today and me on today, you are God's will is for you to be growing and maturing. All right. So he's going to bring some specific things into your life to help you do that. There are going to be times of waiting. There are going to be times of unexpected trials. There are going to be times where those things happen in your life. Certain people come into your life, whatever it may be. It could be 10,000 different things. Those are some things that God will use to stretch us. Now, we know there are other ways that aren't necessarily trials. Hopefully it's not a trial. But there are other ways that we can grow without trials. That is God's will. So those ways are like reading the Word of God. Now, we should want to get up and read the Word of God. It shouldn't be a trial for us, brethren, to open up our Bibles each day, okay? And so praying shouldn't be a trial, though that can be difficult. We need to pray. And serving, being at church. Hopefully it wasn't a trial necessarily, hopefully you weren't dreading being at church tonight. But nevertheless, these are things that help us grow spiritually. But when it comes right down to it, those things are helpful and absolutely needed. But for most of us, if not all of us, I believe we grow the most when God puts us through the fire. When we go through those areas of life that, quite frankly, they're uncomfortable. They're sometimes just quite painful. And I believe that Jacob is going to see that. He's going to see that. What are some shortcuts that I can take to growth? You know, the attitude, there are several attitudes that can come up. Perhaps, I don't know what all was going through Jacob's But number one, he knew, I'm sure he knew of the birthright. I mean, his mother, probably she heard it first, and as God told her that, and I'm sure that she repeated that to her son because she loved him, and I'm sure somehow he knew that. But nevertheless, we see that there's some things that had to come up in his mind to go ahead and take this. Now, one of them could have been, and we can all relate to this, is when you get into a trial or you get into a situation in life and you automatically assume, I can do this better. That's a form of pride. When you automatically think in a situation in life, I can do better than that. I can do better than so-and-so. I can do better than so-and-so. And it might just be true. But the fact of the matter is, there is a spirit of pride there that God is not going to allow us to grow until He allows us to grow until He sees us change our heart and our attitude in that very thing. I think about this, you know, because I'm sure as he looked at Esau, and we all know, listen, it's just not all Jacob's fault here. Esau was a wicked man. He was a wild man. He had some serious issues, I do believe, as we read the whole context of understanding his character. But nevertheless, it wasn't Jacob's responsibility to take that in that way. But I also believe that another thought that can come to mind is there's no other way. There's no other way. You know, it's almost like Jacob saying, look, there's no other way this can be done. I got to do this. You ever get in that place in your life? Take a shortcut to spiritual growth. God's trying to teach you a lesson and you think of a better way to handle it. You think of a better way and it almost comes as saying, look, there's no other way that this can be done. For instance, we saw that in other accounts in the Bible. Where this came about, where there's no other way that this can be done. And I do believe that comes from a spirit of unbelief. And brethren, one of the things that you will learn and I will learn in spiritual growth is that unbelief will stunt us. We've got to take God at who He is. He that cometh to me must believe that He is. That He is God and He is able to do exactly what He says He's going to do. And I believe that we need to take God at His word and not try to take matters into our own hands, because that comes from a spirit of unbelief. But then also, kind of related to this topic is something that can stunt our growth is basically this idea of time has run out. I've waited long enough, God. I'm taking this matter into my own hands. And that comes from a spirit of impatience. We saw that, didn't we, with Abraham and Sarah. You know, that was God had promised them, didn't He? God had promised them that the Messiah would come and the promised one would come through them and their family. And they just waited and waited and got time and said, no, it's not happening. Let's just take this matter in our own hands. And they should have waited. And Jacob should have waited and just let God do what He's going to do in his life and growing him. Yes, he's looking at his carnal brother, his ungodly brother, who's probably not doing what he should be doing. And he doesn't understand. And we know that he was carnal and godly because he saw the birthright as being worthless. That says a lot about him right there. And of course, we read about him in Hebrews chapter 12 as well. We know of his character, but nevertheless, that gave Jacob no right to take matters into his own hands. And we see that because of that, and you say, well, I think he had the right. Well, you know, would you say that David had the right to take out Saul? Saul was fired, wasn't he? Didn't God fire Saul? So you're no longer king. All that time, David could have easily himself taken it out. But what did he say? I'm not going to touch God's anointed right now. It's not time. I know God's put His hand on me and through Samuel, and God has made it clear that I'm going to be the king. But I got to let God do this. I let God do this. And God will do it. And God did do it. You see, we don't want to stunt our growth by being impatient. But let God have its perfect work, as it would say in James. Let patience have her perfect work. That's that steadfastness as we serve the Lord and trust Him to work. But then also an attitude can creep in quickly of this. I don't know if this was exactly Jacob's mind, but I know it can come in the human heart quickly when God is teaching us through trials, and that is this: I don't deserve this. That's one that can stun us. I don't know if Jacob was thinking that, look, here I am, I'm the responsible one. I'm here with the house, with the family. I'm helping with the family, with what we have here, the family business, if you will. But this man out here, this brother of mine, I don't deserve this. And you know, if we're not careful, sometimes we can get bitter during the trials of our life and go through life and things happen and have that attitude of, I deserve better than this. Listen, if that's the attitude, you're going to stay stunted in your spiritual growth. What you got to go through life is says, I deserve hell. I deserve hell. That's what I deserve in this life. I deserve to be there right now, burning in agony. But God has been so gracious to give me the life I have now. And yes, everything may not be going my way. And yes, I may be facing some hardships, but look what I deserve, brethren. And we can't get that attitude because we know what we deserve. I know what I deserve. But then there could be a spirit of bitterness there. But then there could be blame shifting. The idea of not my fault. You know, I mean, you think about the fact that it definitely appears that it was just dropped right in his lap. But brethren, let's mark it down in life. Just because something drops in your lap does not make it right. The devil can drop things right in your lap. He's an angel of light. He makes things look real good. And he's a deceiver. But, you know, we see that Jacob brought this this birthright seemingly right to his lap and said, look, what's it used to me? You can have it. But I see here that many times we can say it's not my fault. And Jacob could have justified it, said, look, he brought it right to me. It just, hey, looked like it was just meant to be. But he could have waited on God. It was his. And then we don't need to blame shift in our lives. Well, it's this person's fault that I'm going through what I'm going through. And blame others for what we are happening. That's easy to do, but there's no growth in that. Growth is just saying, look, I want what the Lord wants here. I want to do what He wants to do. But another one I think about in this is the fact that I want my inheritance. There could have been an attitude of selfishness there. I want my inheritance. This is mine, and I want it now. You know, we can get that way sometimes, and the Lord will not grow us until we come to that place of complete surrender and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm just going to let you give it as you see fit. Nothing wrong with praying for it. Nothing wrong with desiring it. Nothing wrong with claiming the wonderful promises of God. But as you walk by faith, it is like, Lord, this is all about you. This is all about your plan. It's not about Brinson Jennings. It's about your glory. And as I go through this life and all these people around me and all these circumstances, Lord, please not let this thing revolve around me. But Lord, let it revolve around you and what you are wanting to do, not just in my life, but in the lives of others. That is where we grow. And brethren, I pray that we will all desire to have that attitude before the Lord and calling out to Him in that. And by the way, we may get to it here in the next couple weeks, but God did bring Jacob to that spot. One of the most famous passages in the Old Testament and in the book of Genesis is when Jacob wrestled with God. And that was the breaking point. That's where Jacob went and being from the supplanter, the deceiver, and trying to just go through life in ease without really letting God grow him the way he wanted him to and just do the will of God and let God have his way. He finally came to that point and said, okay, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. It went from it being on Jacob's terms to being on God's terms. That is where the Lord wants every one of us tonight. Lord, I'm here on your terms. The way you want to lead me, the way you want to guide me, the way you want to mold me, the way you want to bless me, or the way you want to put me through the fire. Dear God, have your way. Listen to that. I wrote there in our notes, George Matheson here wrote, he said, "My God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross as it itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain." Wow. I do believe this brother did not come to writing this poem overnight. Do you? Oh, no. I believe it was God bringing him and growing him in the way, God's way. I notice there's Psalm 119, verse 71, where it says, the psalmist says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And we see here, that is a spirit of, Lord, I want to grow your way and not my way. Now, we do not need to stereotype trials here tonight, do we, brethren? They come in all kinds of shapes, forms, and sizes. They come in all different durations, and we can't put a stereotype on trials. But nevertheless, that is where we really are going to grow in our faith. That's where we will see some progress. And until we get in that place in our walk where we daily, we say, Lord, have thine own way. That's where we'll see it.